Luno, the fastest, easiest way to buy Bitcoin. If you're just getting into crypto, it's the perfect place to start. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Lay High Fan Show. Of course, it's powered by Icon Plus Capital. They're a VC firm, so go check them out. Jose, how are you doing? Good to have you.
Laya, look, you need to teach me how to do that.
Do what? I need to do one of those introductions.
No, that was beautiful. I need to learn how to do those fancy transitions. And I like StreamYard. I do have an account, but I just don't know how to do that. You need to teach me.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I made it myself. So I can totally teach you
beautiful.
That. But before we jump in, I just want to let everybody know that this is sponsored by BlockFi. So BlockFi are a really cool place to basically earn, I think it's up to 8.6% interest on your stable coins. That's insane because right now the world is just terrible. Everywhere is negative interest rates or flat interest rates. So yeah, definitely go check them out. But for those that don't know, Jose is my guest today. He's an absolute online genius. He's a business online coaching genius, master of all trades. So I just want to pick his brains and basically understand how to grow a business in 2021. So Jose, where are you based right now?
I'm in Dominican Republic, the land where it's always summer.
Gosh, I'm so jealous. I was in Dominican Republic actually just before COVID kicked off in January 2020, right? That's when it happened, right?
Yep, but and, I think we didn't know each other back then.
We didn't, but I was doing bachata and I really got down with the whole Dominican Republic vibe. Can you do bachata?
I don't like bachata. It's weird because most Dominicans love bachata music, but I just don't like it. I'm more of a rock guy. So, you know, there's a big difference between bachata and rock. So I'm not the right person to ask about that type of music.
No, fair enough. But no, I love Dominican Republic. I was in Punta Cana. It's a great place, but correct me if I'm wrong, before you were online, before you were building your business online and everything, you couldn't speak English. Is that right?
It was hard to speak English, okay? I was born in a family. My dad is an immigrant. He is from Belize. And people in Belize, they speak a weird English. When I listen to my dad talking with my grandparents, I don't understand because it has like a weird accent. Regardless of that, he never spoke to me or my brother in English, but he had a job here in Dominican Republic and in a very good bilingual school. So I got a scholarship because he was a teacher there and I learned like the basics of English. But after that, I never used English. I only read it. I only watched a couple of movies in English. So reading and listening English is not the same as speaking it. It's not the same thing. So I remember my first couple of live sessions where I was talking in English and I was like stumbling upon my words. I couldn't find a way to convey my ideas in a way that was persuasive or entertaining or just, you know, without long pauses or weird sounds with my voice, with the long pauses. So since then, that was 2018 when I started like posting stuff in English and trying to do my best speaking this language. I've come a long way. What you're listening right now, it's not what you would have listened 3 years ago, man. It's so embarrassing. But the thing is that, no matter where you start, you'll suck at first. And that's normal. The difference between people who succeed online or in life are those who don't mind embarrassing themselves a little bit. Because at the end of the day, if you don't risk embarrassment, like, dude, what are you doing with your life? Are you going to hide yourself under your bed weeping that it's too hard to get started? Or people will laugh at you. Of course, people will laugh at you. Of course, people will make fun of you when you're starting out because you're doing it wrongly, and that's okay because you're a starter. So it's not that I did not know English; is that I did not use English for 30 years, okay? I'm 33, by the way. I learned English like when I was like 8, 9 years old and stopped learning it when I was like 12. So I spent 4 years learning English when I was a kid. After that, it's just reading and watching movies, but no speaking until I was like 30 years old. So it was a long time between actually using the skill, learning the skill and using it. And thankfully I did. Thankfully I did, because look, when I started out my online business, my online journey, not business, it was not a business back then. What I did was I started tweeting. I started using Twitter to connect with other people and try to make money, but I sucked at it like badly, man. I made $0 for a long time, for months. And what I did was I wrote everything in Spanish, okay? And then I used Google Translate to get the English right because, you know, I did not write good English, but I'm a good writer in Spanish, okay? So I wrote everything in Spanish and then translated it with Google Translate and then tweeted the stuff. And people start loving the tweets and retweeting the tweets, but they didn't know it was a translation from Spanish to English. It was a very dumb and stupid and painful process.
No, that's so smart. That's
no,
smart.
Wait. Okay. Let me use a little bit of hyperbole to make this more enticing.
I'll sit back. It's your podcast. You go for it, Jose. Go on.
So yeah, it was stupid, but it worked. And the reason I tell you about this stupidity of mine is because when people start a business, when people are thinking about starting a business or they have a business idea for the online world or outside of it, like in real life, they might feel that their idea is stupid or that's dumb or that it might not work. But let me tell you, I'm the guy who used to translate his post from Spanish to English using Google Translate and created a multi-six-figure business doing that. So if I can do that, translate stuff from Spanish to English, with a very painful process of thinking in Spanish, then translating it, then trying to figure out the best way to say it because the translation was not perfect, and build a six-figure business with that using the dumpster fire called the dumpster fire social media called Twitter. What makes you think that your next business idea, regardless of how stupid or dumb you feel it is, can't succeed? Let me give you another example. There's a funny page I love. It's called Potato Parcel. What they do is they, you know, take the potato. They just take the potato and they engrave your face on the potato, on the potato skin. Mm-hmm. That's all they do. And they sell the freaking potato for $20, $30. Think about this. A potato, one piece of potato, $20 to $30. And they right now are a $1 million business selling engraved potatoes with your face.
Is it good though? Is it good? Is it like an actual
portrait? It's a $1 million business. It's a $1 million business. Of course, the potato spoils because it's a real potato, but it's like a gag. You know, it's like a joke. You send the potato to someone with like, what the hell is this potato doing with my face on it? So,
but does it look like the person?
Yes, it's not engraved. They actually print your face on the potato. Okay. So, they built a business with a dumb idea and they scaled it to a $1 million business. So whatever the hell you're thinking about, right now for you to start a business, think about the Potato Parcel, brand, or think about me, the guy who, who used to translate his stuff from English to Spanish using Google Translate to get the English right and build a multi-six-figure business doing that. Think about that. What makes you think you can't? So I always smile telling this story because a lot of people approach me telling me, Jose, how do I start a business? How do I scale? What should I post? What should I do? How do I get clients? How do I get started? How do I reach out to people? And my answer to them is always the following. Right now, you're focusing on problems that you don't have. What you need to do is ask yourself the question that will solve an immediate problem. And the immediate problem that you have right now is the question that solves the immediate problem that you have right now is, when do I need to get started? And the answer to that question is always yesterday.
Now.
Okay? Not now, yesterday. The answer to the question is yesterday. So once you get started, you'll do it badly. And give yourself permission to do it badly. Like, you're new at something. Even Michael Jordan, when he started shooting, you know, the ball and trying to dunk, he sucked at it. And now he's Michael Jordan. Or think about Tiger Woods, when he started with his golfing and stuff like that. He was not good at it. And now he's like the best in history. So when you're starting out, give yourself permission to do it badly. Now, when I say give yourself permission to do it badly, it's not to do it as bad as you can. Is that do it knowing it won't be perfect, okay? Because you're a beginner, you're starting out. And what happens next? What happens next? Once you get started, which you should do right now, okay? Or after you stop listening to our podcast, right? Then you will start getting more questions inside your head. And your mission is to figure out which of those questions when you answer one of those questions, will result in an immediate return on your investment. You'll solve the problems as they start appearing in front of your face. You don't solve problems that you still don't have. That's when you're starting out, okay? Once you have 2, 3, 5 years in business, it's better to have a longer term vision for your business. But when you're starting out, it's day to day. What problem do I have today that I can solve today? And that I can see an immediate return on the investment of the time and effort I'm going to invest in trying to solve that problem that will bring me, I don't know, the best results at the moment. When you're starting out, this is the best approach. Solve the problems as they start appearing.
Jose, I'm just going to jump in a sec. So several things going on here, and I'm reading the comments as well. So I want to make sure that we add as much value as possible. So if you guys do have any comments, then definitely just put them in because I'm reading them as we chat. But okay, so really important. You said about being embarrassed. I think that is so key, especially just from a personal standpoint. I just push things out. Like even if I look stupid or I seem silly, I also think there's something kind of charming about making a fool of yourself. Because of course you don't want to say anything stupid and you don't want to be incorrect or
I love how you
whatever
say
it is.
Stupid. I like stupid.
How do you say it? Stupid.
I just love the English accent, like stupid.
Oh, stupid.
I love it.
Yeah, same as Tuesday. And yeah,
Tuesday, yeah. I love the memes also.
Yeah, it's funny. But, you know, a lot of the time people do trial and error and they're not sure what the best business is, okay? I have a friend, I was talking about this with her the other day. She wants to grow online and you know, build a business, but she doesn't know what her niche is. And I think a niche is often quite important. So what if people are trying to figure out what business should I do? You know, I'm good at many different things or I'm rubbish at many different things. How can they really narrow it down, whether it be fitness, motivation? You know, these are just some of the key things which people do online at the moment. So how do they actually focus and pick something?
Well, that's a great question. And I will not answer it. I'll answer a different question.
Okay. At least you're honest about it. That's fine.
Yeah, let's make this a little bit spicier. Look, I am not the type of person that will say someone, hey, choose a niche and then start your business. No, I'll say start. Find clients, get testimonials, and then you niche down. Now, the real question is, how do you actually do that? How do you get started? And how do you find clients when you're new? And then how do you choose a niche? I do it the other way around. People say that riches are in the niches. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But after you start and you have a couple of clients, let me tell you how I did it and how I teach my own students on how to start their business. So instead of...
And also explain what you do, by the way.
Oh, okay. So at the moment, I coach people on how to monetize their skills, turn those skills into services or coaching or information products so they can make money online, okay? By either selling information products to their audiences, if they have an audience, or selling their services so they can... you know, start an agency or start freelancing and escape the 9-to-5 job that they have, or people who already have some very specific set of skills and they want to teach other people how to do that through coaching. I also teach people how to turn those skills into coaching so they can sell it to their online audience or outside of that, okay? So when I take on a new student and they want to start a business and they want to get clients and they want to niche down and they want to, you know, make money online and sell their services, what I do is tell them, look, at the moment, forget about the niche because that's a problem that you still don't have, okay? Mm. The problem that you have right now is getting started. And how did you get started? Okay, you already have the skill. Let's say you are a web designer. You can design websites. Okay, now let's grab that skill and let's turn it into a service. You get paid $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, depending on your skill level, okay? How do you do that? We can talk about that later on. But for the moment, let me tell you like the full picture. Once you turn that skill into a service or a coaching or a product, then you set your eyes on the prize, getting clients. The big question now, how do I get my first client? This is where most people just start thinking about, I need to find a niche. I need to research the niche. I need to understand what they think. I need to understand the problems that they have. Screw all of that. You're starting out. So what you need to do is reach out to your family and your friends and tell them, hey, I just started a business. I started a web design agency and I would love to design a website for you. You don't have to pay me, or we could talk about a payment so you don't feel bad about for abusing our relationship. Let's hop on a call, 10 minutes, and let's figure out a path to create that website of yours so you can start promoting yourself, so you can start posting your blog, so you can start, you know, just using the online tools that I will provide you to make more money or whatever, okay? And I can assure you, you'll find a couple of your friends or family members or acquaintances that will need that service of yours. In this case, web design. You don't have to charge, but if you want to charge at least between $500 and $1,000. Because at the end of the day, what you want is the testimonial. You want the social proof. Why do you want the social proof and the testimonial? Well, when people are in doubt, we humans, what we do is we take a look around us and we figure out what are other people doing? Mm-hmm. Oh, they're hiring Jose for web design? Okay. I see their face. I see that they say good things about Jose. Let me give this Jose guy a try. They hop on a call with Jose. Jose says, okay, here's what we're going to do, X, Y, or Z. Pay me $500. Pay me $1,000. Pay me $5,000. Pay me whatever you need to ask for your services. And then you get another client. But at first, focus on the people that you know, your acquaintances, your friends, your family members. Because here's the thing. You might fail. That's a possibility.
But you will fail.
That's something that happens. You will fail eventually, okay? That's just a fact. You're going to die? Fact. You're going to fail eventually? Fact. So it's a little bit less heartbreaking to fail when you're working with a family member or a friend, because they'll give you the chance to redeem yourself. But a client, they'll fire you right there. So that's why I always suggest start with family members and acquaintances and people that you trust, because then you can, like, it's doubtful if you're a responsible person, but in case of failure, you can always ask for an extra 2 or 3 days to deliver on your promises. And that's okay. It can happen. It will happen eventually. So reduce the risk by working with people that you feel comfortable telling them, hey, give me a couple of extra days. I will deliver your stuff. And if I don't, I'll give you your money back. That's okay. And I'll, of course, deliver the service. And it's a great way to get started and make money and use that money to, if you want to invest the money, that's okay, right? Buy Bitcoin or buy the, what do you call it? Safe coins?
Safe Moon. No. We don't promote Safe Moon on Layers podcast. We just promote Bitcoin.
Oh, okay. But I don't know anything about that type of stuff.
Oh, you don't? We can talk about that.
So when you talk about
point.
Safe Moon or Safe Coin or Safe whatever, I'm like, what is she talking about?
None of that stuff is safe. No. But one of the things that I think people often struggle with is procrastination and motivation, building habits and things like that. So before I ask the question, I just want to give like a bit of background and a story. So I think staying motivated can be hard. And the thing which keeps me motivated is so simple. It's literally survival. Okay. So I look at it as like, nobody is going to pay for me but me. Like there's no one. I've just got me in this world. So, you know, if I want to leave a country, if I want to eat a nice dinner, if I want to go buy a nice bottle of wine, like seriously, I want to get that perfume. Only no one's paying for it but me. So I have to work. So, and I really have to work, not just get like a basic job, which pays me like a low salary. That's not going to give me a lifestyle that I want. So the way I look at it is just, damn, I need to survive. You know, if I want to travel this world, then that's what I got to do. So what's your advice to people who struggle staying motivated and then they fall down the whole procrastination rabbit hole?
If you are a man, have a kid, get someone pregnant. That will give you the urgency of God to get things done. Joking aside, survival is a big one. Survival is like a huge one. And I like, for example, how Jordan Peterson frames it. Think about the worst case scenario. 10 years from now, see yourself in the worst place that you can never see yourself. And use that fear of that eerie image, that hell of an image, as a way to force yourself to get things done. Because if you don't do those things that you know you should be doing, you'll end up in that hellhole. And believe me, it can be worse than what your imagination can take you. If you can't find motivation on that fear, that's okay. Find it in the positive. Figure out like where you want to be. Yeah. If you're more like that, I'm more in the fear-based side. I prefer to scare myself shitless so I get things done, but not everyone responds to fear, okay? So what you do is think about where you want to be in the next 10 years. You want to be in Dominican Republic, in Punta Cana, surrounded by beautiful Latino and Latino people with a great body shredded, having, you know, the breeze in the caress in your face and the sun, you know, just shining upon you and toasting your skin, and you become a beautiful tanned person and shredded person. Imagine yourself like that and then find a way to get there. And that takes me to what I told you about a couple of moments ago when we began the podcast. Figure out the problem, the immediate problem that you have right now. Figure out a solution to that problem, and then find another problem that you can figure out the solution at that same moment, and do that until the problems that you have have long-term consequences, and then figure out how to solve those problems that have long-term consequences. But at the moment, figure out the problems that you have that have a short-term consequence, because you're starting out, okay? So I just told you about two ways to motivate yourself. You either use fear by thinking about where you'll be in 10 years and the worst case scenario that can happen in the next 10 years, or you can use a little bit of positivity or positive thinking to imagine yourself in the place that you want to be 10 years from now. Two tactics that work really well. And depending on who you are, if you're like me, you can use fear. If you're like Laia, you can also use fear, you know, a fear of, you know, I don't, fear of not surviving. Okay. But if you're like, not like me or like you, use positivity and use a better mental image of the future that you want to live in.
I think that's the thing. People get so wrapped up in thinking that they've got this huge path ahead of them and this huge, gigantic journey. And that can be so overwhelming, and it totally stops you from starting. But if you just literally take it step by step, and go with it, do the small things. I think that really helps. Something which I always struggle with, particularly, you know, when you're working for yourself, is prices, raising prices. This is so stressful. So let's go back a bit. How do you work out how to value the price of something?
If you're starting out, always start between $500 and $1,000. Don't complicate it. Really, overthinking pricing when you're starting out is just too much. Price between $500 and $1,000.
Wait, that depends on the product, obviously. If you're doing
a service, okay? If it's a service or coaching. $500 to $1,000. No matter the service, no matter the coaching. $500 to $1,000 because you'll be selling your time, okay? Yeah. Now, if it's like digital products or physical products, it's a little bit different, okay? Price low, and as you start getting more testimonials, you raise the price. That's a process. Start with $50. Raise the price when you get more testimonials. Then make it $75. Then $100. Then $150. Then $500. Then $1,000. Then whatever you think. And you can even build a coaching around that information product, which is what I do. You know, I let me tell you how I started with the coaching business. So I said to myself, how can I build a course? How can I build a digital product? How could I create this video course knowing that it will solve people's problems and not waste my time creating it only to fail to sell it once it's done? What I did was the following. Hey, I just opened up five spots for a coaching. It's only $500. I will show you how to do this, 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 and that. I got five people to join.
Because it's only $500.
It's only $500. And I coached them on how to whatever in that time. Okay. That was in 2018. I got the five people to join my coaching for $500. And I started building the information product around the questions that they asked me. And I got paid to build the information product. And then I sold the information product outside of the coaching. So I found a way to win even if I failed. What do I mean with that? I got paid for the coaching. And the purpose was, of course, to coach, but also to build a product that I could sell outside of that coaching. If the product would have not sold well, I still made the money from the coaching. That's what I mean when I say find a way to win even if you fail. Okay? I didn't fail. I made a lot of money with the coaching and the and the information product, but at least I got paid basically to create the information product. This is the ultimate way to create an information product, man. You have the people that will serve as a guinea pig, let's say. They will ask you questions. You'll answer those questions, and then you record that and add it to your you document that. You add it to a PowerPoint presentation, and then you record yourself reading the PowerPoint presentation, and then you sell that. Evergreen process works perfectly, and it also helps you make money while creating the information product, okay? So I want to talk a little bit about that concept of finding ways in which you can win even if you fail. I stole this concept from Scott Adams. He's one of my favorite authors. And when he said that years ago, I think it was 2016 when I started like following him really deeply, I got that idea of actually figuring out how I can win even if I fail. And that's where I created something, a platform, a membership platform that I call Sovereign University. Okay. Mm-hmm. I started Sovereign University in 2019. And I got 100 members in the first month. They were paying me between $44 and $50 a month, 100 members. That's around $5,000 in monthly revenue. And let me tell you, I failed because I closed the university, okay? But I also won because I created so much content, so many courses for people inside the Sovereign University that I was able to make 10 times that, much more than 10 times the money I made with Sovereign University. For example, from my time when I had Sovereign University back then, which I reopened on Monday, by the way, I created a course. The course is how to create websites without coding.
Okay.
It was for members of Sovereign University back in 2019. Once I Sovereign University, this is too much for me. And I closed it. I sold the course, the straight line web design course. That course has made me over $100,000.
Wow.
So I lost because I failed, because I had to close the university. But I had all that information that I monetized outside of the university. So I figured out a way to win even if I lost. In your life, think about those situations where you think you might fail, because it's always a possibility. But even if you fail, you win. For example, learning skills, a skill learning any type of skill will always produce some kind of good results. Even if you fail to, for example, monetize that skill or become famous doing whatever you're doing with that skill, you will still have that skill. Let's say that you want to learn how to write and you want to sell the writing skill. We call that copywriting. Writing for persuading. That's copywriting. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you fail to create an agency around copywriting. You get a couple of clients, but then you're just making $10,000 a month and you say like, oh, it's too much work for too little money. What happens next? You still have the copywriting skill. You can teach other people that skill, or you can use that skill for your own gains. You can launch a newsletter. You get people to join your newsletter, and then you sell them stuff in that newsletter. It could be coaching on how to copyright. It could be coaching on how to start a business. It could be coaching. It could be information products. It could be whatever the hell you can imagine you can sell with that skill. So you found a skill that even if you failed, let's say, monetizing that skill, you still keep that skill. And then you start stacking more of these skills that they add up. Okay, they add up and they help you become more persuasive. They help you become a more valuable individual. They help you become an individual that actually provides more value to the world. And when you provide value to the world, a lot of great things start happening to you. Let's say yourself, you provide a lot of free value on your Twitter account. And that's why you have 100,000 followers. Okay. And you say, oh, I sometimes post silly videos, and you do. And they're funny because they are endearing, you know, like you said. And you risk embarrassment. And risking that embarrassment paid off massively. You now have 100,000 followers liking your stuff, retweeting your stuff. You now have people paying you just to name them on your podcast. Or I don't know if they're paying you, but they're giving you something for
it. Yeah,
no? Your sponsors, they give you something. It could be something financially or a privilege of early access to some stuff, but they give you something in exchange for just opening your mouth and saying, this podcast is sponsored by Jose Rosado. And that's all you have to do. Why? Because you risk embarrassment and you did put in the work. And I bet when you started tweeting, it was weird, right? You felt a little bit uncomfortable. You said, like, what can people learn from me? What can people find? How can people find interest in what I have to say? I'm just, when you started out Twitter, you had like 22 years. You were like, how many? 22, 23?
Oh, I've been on Twitter for years, but I wasn't trying
to
grow.
Seriously.
I only started March last year.
March last year. And from March last year, when you started taking it seriously, what happened? You grew.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario is that what? Your account doesn't grow, but still you get some kind of reward for posting about Bitcoins and about the things that you love. So you found a way to win even if you lose. And when I say lose, it's not getting the followers. But winning looks like this. You build a community. You reach out to famous people. You have access to other people on the platform. You can communicate with them. You can send them a direct message. I saw you posting the other day that you want to have Elon Musk on your podcast.
Yeah.
And I believe you'll be able to pull that one out. How? I have no freaking idea. But
me
that
neither,
eventually
but
will
matter.
Happen. Yeah, you put it out there in the world. The worst thing that can happen is that Elon Musk doesn't come to your podcast. And meh. You know, like, okay, I'll have Jose Rosado, or I'll have whatever, or I'll have someone else. Okay? So, you put yourself in the place of risking embarrassment by saying, I want to have Elon on my podcast. Elon, come. And you tweet that. And you tweeted that. It might work. It might not work. So you found the way to win even if you lose. You win because you had the balls, let's say, the ovaries to say, yes.
You can say
I
balls,
want this
it's
guy.
Chill.
Yeah. You had the guts to say, Elon, I want to interview you. I want to have you as a guest on my podcast. He doesn't come, nothing happens. He comes and you win. You win. You get more famous. Laia goes from 100,000 followers to 500,000 followers from day to night. Night to day? I don't know how to say it. Yeah. But that's what happens when you put yourself out there and you stick your neck out risking that someone grabs a machete and, you know, cuts your head.
It's true. It's like they say, it's okay. You breathe. I'll take this bit. it's like they say, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get, basically. And yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy to embarrass myself, to be honest, because at least I have fun, and at least I make myself laugh. That's all that matters. But you know, we're talking about building online businesses as if it's so obvious that one should do it, right? To some people, it's not. To me, it is, just given everything we've seen with COVID and everything like that. But in your words, why would you say it's so important to build an online business, or just to be able to make money online?
Speed.
Oh, that's an interesting answer. Speed.
Okay, speed. Because what's the difference between an online business and an offline business? Speed. The process is the same. Offline or online, you need clients. You need to find clients. No matter if it's offline or online. No matter if it's online or offline. You need to find clients. And with the internet, it's so much faster to get started. Because let me tell you, let's say that you want Laya as your, you want to create her website, let's say. All you have to do is open your Twitter account, record yourself saying the following words. Hey, Laya, I love how enthusiastic you are with your tweets and with your videos. And I noticed that, you know, you could actually start, let's say, leveraging that attention that you get on Twitter. And I noticed that you don't have a website. I would love to create a website for you. If this sounds like something that you want for your business, reply to this message. And I would love to have a quick 10-minute chat with you. That's all you have to do.
I have to say, I actually had somebody do that a few months ago, exactly like that. And I'm going to guess from that message, he's a client.
Maybe a follower?
No, a client, I'm going to guess.
Maybe, who knows? But that's it. That's all you have to do. It's so much faster than going to a door, knocking it, and saying, hey, my name is Jose Rosado. Can I talk to the manager? No. You have, because you have the secretary or someone that would say, no, go away. He's busy or she's busy. Online, you find the owner on Twitter. You find the owner on Instagram. You find the owner on LinkedIn, which is a great platform to find the owners. And you send them a direct message directly to them, offering your services. Okay. And it's less risky than, and less frightening than calling someone out of the blue. We call this cold calling. It's really hard to call someone like, hey, I have this for you. Do you want to buy it? I hate that. I'm not someone that gets embarrassed quickly or that has that kind of personality that says like, it's scary to do that. But cold calling someone, to me, that's scary as
hell. Really?
Oh, I don't do it. It scares me. I don't want to be rejected with, you know, hearing it. But I prefer to be rejected with a word, with just someone typing the word no. It feels less personal. So I get that. That's a great thing about the online world. Speed.
I want to just jump in because another thing which I really want to just talk about for a sec, actually, which I had no plans of talking about, but let's just do it anyway, is email. Okay. Newsletters aside, reaching out to somebody via email is dead. Right?
No.
See, I totally disagree. No. I think email is dead. Newsletters, yes, but emails, as if like, if I want to get you on my podcast, I DM you. I don't email you. If I want to do business with you, I DM you. I don't email you.
There's certain truth behind that. You know, it takes balls to DM the owner of Tesla. You know?
No, I don't think so.
Yes. No. The thing is that you are courageous. You are a courageous woman. Okay. But most people you don't think it, but that's what we see. And that's what I see in you. You are a courageous woman. You take risks. You show your face. You stick your neck out and you risk people telling you, stop talking. What the hell are you talking about?
Someone said on TikTok actually yesterday, oh no, it's that bell end again. And I was just like,
Oh, and that's like, you know, you I can only imagine the type of DMs that people send you from, you know, dick pics and stuff like that from shut your mouth and the B word, you know, you risk that kind of messages, you know, so you are a courageous woman. You are a courageous individual and people see that. And that's one of the main reasons also why you have 100,000 followers, because you are risking embarrassment. And a lot of people don't have the courage to do that. Okay. So believe it. Believe it. You are a courageous person. So back to the topic. Email. Yeah, is that email. DM is the king. Okay. But emails, if you automate it, is the universe. It's more than just that. It's the creator.
That's what that's different.
Because you can automate that. Okay. You can automate the reach out, reaching out to people. Let's say that you have 20 emails of people that you want to invite to your podcast. Very important people. You can automate that. You can totally automate that. You put the emails in a database and you can send those 20 emails custom tailored for that person. Where you just, in the first line, you talk a little bit about them, but then everything else, the invitation and the links, it's like copy paste. So all you have to do is the first line of that email to get their attention. You personalize it. You custom tailor for who they are, so they know that you did your fucking research. Sorry.
Oh, can I hate curse when here? People do that. Yeah, of course you can. But I was just gonna say, I hate when people do that.
Okay. The thing I forgot to ask you if I can curse.
So, yeah, you can.
So they fucking know that you conducted your research and that you know who you are reaching to. Okay, and then it's just copy paste the rest of the thing, and you can automate that crap. So instead of spending 10 hours DMing people one by one, you put those 20, 30, 100 emails in a database. You create a custom first line for these people to get their attention. Everything else is copy paste. And here's the thing: the follow up can also be automated. The follow up is the hardest part because it's the one that you'll have to be like, hey, bumping this up. Hey,
you gotta know what you're doing. Whatever. You can't just milk it.
Yeah, so you have to follow up. In your case, how many times do you have to follow up on someone that you want to interview? I guess that's something you have to follow up five.
I don't do emails. I just don't.
No, but unless in DMs. I'm doing.
DMs.
You follow up, right?
Yeah, I just want to let everybody, just on that point though, most of my followers are in crypto, so they'll know a guy called Bruce Fenton. I've been trying to get Bruce on, I finally interviewed him, but I've been trying to...
You're being courageous right now. You're speaking that into reality. You want to interview him and you're saying it right now. That takes courage.
No, like what I'm saying is like, I did interview him, but I've been messaging only like last month, but I've been messaging him since like 2018. So it took me 3 years. And I was like, Bruce, it's me again, you know, just want to have a chat. it's funny, but that's
you can automate that with emails.
Oh,
so you don't have to be like, yeah. So that's the thing. If you're doing it manually, email, it's really it's just a lot of time, low return on investment. But if you automate it, and there are a lot of software to do that, you can automate it.
Give an example of
follow-up. Milkshake. That's one.
Milkshake.
There's something also called, I believe, Gmass. Gmass. Let me see. Gmass. Where you can like just add a couple of emails, custom add some like tags and stuff like that to change the first name of the person and stuff like that. And you can send a bunch of emails custom tailored for the person. That integrates Gmass, integrates perfectly with Gmail. So it's really, really, really powerful.
Gmass, you said.
Gmass. Gmass.
Perfect.
Mass as in massive. Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
So you automate that. And you don't have to be spending time on, hey, I'm here. It's me again. So that's one of the great things about emails. You can automate it. But the DM, it's more personal. And also at least the effort of reaching out, you know, like it's very personal because it's a direct message to the person. And they see that. They see the courage of you just saying, hey, it's me again. And if you send a video, it's even more courageous, which I highly encourage people to send video messages instead of just text message, because it takes courage to record yourself. Hey, Laia, I want to create your website. If you're interested, say yes, and we can have a quick chat on how to make that happen. So if anyone who is listening right now, here's what I want you to do once we stop this recording. If you have a service and you feel that Laia or me or some, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. I always call you Laia.
It's okay. It's okay. It's actually Laia. It's more Laia. Of an A sound, but I mean, your English is good enough. Yeah, so I'm not going to.
No. I'm like, damn, I've been thinking, am I pronouncing this name correctly? I risk embarrassment, and now I just embarrass myself. So back to the main topic. Go into people's DMs. Record yourself telling them that you want to create something for them. It could be content. It could be a website. It could be emails. It could be, let's say the person needs a lawyer and you're a lawyer. Send them a video message telling them, look, Laia needs a lawyer. So if you're a lawyer and you're listening to this podcast, she needs a lawyer. Slide into her DMs and send her a pitch. I want to be your lawyer. So it's not simple. Well, it's not easy, but it's simple. The process is simple. You let people know what you do. And if they have a problem that you can solve, they'll say, okay, let's have a quick chat. And once you have them on the phone, you do your magic. You tell them about the benefits of working with you. You offer them a guarantee and you close the deal on the phone. Of course, I'm simplifying the process, but regardless if it's online business or offline business, it works the same. Because at the end of the day, what you want to build is connection with people. You want to build that sense of trust with the person. And you can do that online and offline. So again, the difference between offline and online business is speed. Online is just much more faster than offline. And of course, it depends on the business, because there are some offline businesses that make a lot of money. But if you're more in the service-based type of business, online is just faster, because you have the emails, you have the direct messages, you can automate all of that. You can automate all of that, and you can just let the machine, the computer, do the grunt work for you, and you focus on closing the deal on the phone. Because at the end of the day, you will have to have a quick chat with that person, either on Zoom or the phone, or just a phone call. Usually Zoom, because we now have been forced to, to have Zoom calls, which I love.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't have to go to other people's businesses to have a meeting. I can just send them a Zoom link and that's it. That's online business, man. Really. If you're thinking about online business, like selling information products, it's a little bit different. But if you are a service-based business, meaning a do-it-for-you business, I will do that for you. Use the online resources and tools that you have at your disposal. Emails, direct messages, social media. LinkedIn is a special one to make money. Twitter, to talk about what you do. Twitter is especially good to sell services. It's insanely powerful. And people just think it's for politics or for, I don't know, Bitcoin or whatever. It's such, well, you can make a lot of money with Bitcoin, but it's so much more than politics, Bitcoin, and shit posting. So much more than that. Elon, for example, I remember he posted with a tweet. He just posted about the Tesla short pants. I remember they sold out like in a minute from a tweet. And of course, he's Elon. He has that star power, but he used his online following leveraged his online following to drive traffic to that landing page to sell his his short pants. So if you're not using the online tools, you're missing out on speed, on making things work out faster for you.
I think the most, there's a lot of important stuff there, but what's really important, I think what really resonates with me is the idea of personalizing a message and not fucking that up. So something which I think actually, Jose, you and I actually spoke about this a few months ago. You sent me a DM and you were like, women posting their L's. But I think you missed the point. So basically, well, I get messages sometimes, and the messages are, we need more women in crypto, love what you're doing, blah, 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 let's work together. And I get frustrated when I receive messages like that, because I'm really vocal about being sort of against that kind of identity politics. I'm not really interested in we need more anything and anything. And I'm really vocal about it. So when I get people reaching out to me saying, yeah, Leia, we need more women in. And I'm like, that's an outright like disrespect, because you're pretending that you follow me, but you don't. Like, you've literally just told me that you're lying. Because I think anybody that follows me knows that I talk about this all the time. And to me, it's just an outright, like, I don't follow you, but I'm going to lie and pretend that I do. I don't know who you are, but I'm going to pretend that I do know who you are, basically. And that you can be honest. You can just say like, I've literally just found you. I really like what I've seen so far, blah, blah, blah. Like, at least just be honest about it. I hate it. It's the lying, which just like really frustrates me. So anyway, you're really knowledgeable about all of this. But how did you become so knowledgeable about it? Where did all of this start? Because every time I speak to you, honestly, I get very stressed out. I always feel there's more I need to do. Eventually I'm going to do a newsletter, but that's towards the end of the year.
I'm failing. So let me redeem myself. Let me redeem myself and let me find the way to unstress you. What is the question, Leia?
No, it's no question. It's just a chit chat, isn't it? It's just like,
all
how
ideas,
do you not
right?
get overwhelmed, you know?
Oh, that's
no,
that's
actually
impossible.
That isn't even the question. That's not the question. The question is, how did you become so successful at knowing about all of this? Like, how did you become so well read on online business? That's actually the question.
Feeling overwhelmed. It's normal. At the moment, I'm overwhelmed with my I relaunched Sovereign University. And I can tell you, I feel lost. I'm scared shitless because I failed once with Sovereign University. And I relaunched it it was on Friday for very specific people. And then I relaunched it for everyone on Monday. And I trust me, it scares the shit out of me. And I'm lost. And I'm like struggling to make it work better. Yesterday, I had a group session and there were like 20, 30 people in the Zoom call. And it was a Q&A session. And I was struggling like hell because I found myself in front of 30 people asking me questions. And I knew that the questions were so different because of the different levels of skill and the business that they have, that I was answering people that had questions for, you know, more advanced users, let's call it like that. And I was having newbies asking me newbie questions. And I felt like the pressure of, holy shit, I got myself into this mess. Now, how the hell can I get outside of this mess? So since yesterday, I'm thinking like, how can I provide value to people who are making more money, let's say $10,000 a month, and also provide value to people who are making a little bit less than that? And now I'm trying to find an answer to that. I'm lost, but I won't let that screw my chances of winning, you know? It's normal to feel overwhelmed, and I'm stupid and dumb because I will take a 2-week vacation on Saturday and I launched on Monday. But I said to myself, I don't launch this university, I call it Sub University, on Monday, I will not launch this never. I was supposed to launch that. I was supposed to launch it in January of 2021. 6 months later, I launched it. Okay. So as you can see, I struggle a lot. I fail a lot. I doubt myself from time to time. Not always, but from time to time, I doubt myself. And right now, I can tell you I'm fucking lost because it's not the same thing as one-on-one coaching. This is a membership platform and I'm new at it. Mm. And despite being new, the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. At the moment, I don't think I've received a negative one, but once I get it, I'll feel sad. Like, it will crush me. I'll go to a corner and cry myself to sleep. Nah, I'm just joking, but it will make me feel sad. But I will find a way to take that feedback, the negative feedback, and turn it into a positive. How? By finding the solution. Okay. So even though I am perceived as an expert on the things that I do, when I start something new, it is really overwhelming and hard. And I'm the type of person that when it's anxious and stress gets tight here on this muscle, mm-hmm. right? I've been tight. Like those muscles have been tight for the last 6 months because I'm still lost in regards to what to do next with Sovereign University. I do have my plans. I just haven't figured out the step-by-step on how to go from this side to this side. But once I figure it out, believe me, I will sell something on how to create a membership platform and be rich with a membership platform. So this is why I tell you that if you find ways to win, even if you fail, you still won. So if for whatever reason I fail again with Sovereign University, which I doubt this time because I'm much more experienced than when I started and closed it on 2019, I will still have the connection I'm building inside the platform. I will still have the testimonials for the courses that I have inside the platform. I will still have all of those resources that I'm creating for these wonderful people that decided to trust me. And even though I'm lost, I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed, I don't know what to do, they trusted me with their money. They trusted me with asking me their questions and believing that I will provide them the right answer. And I will win. I will win. And I'll repeat that again. I will win. And it's normal to feel overwhelmed with a new business or with a new endeavor. It's 100% normal because you are new at that. There's this guy, David Perel. I follow him on Twitter. Hopefully he'll follow me back one day. David Perel, he calls himself the writing guy. Teaches people how to write online. Okay. And he talks about imposter syndrome. Yeah, he calls himself the writing guy. David Perel with double L at the end. David_Perel or Perel. I don't know how to pronounce it. My English is bad. So he talks about imposter syndrome. And he posted a short video on imposter syndrome that caught my attention. And I internalized what he said. He said, when you are starting out, you are an imposter. Because you are not a business owner. You are not the Bitcoin expert. You are not the ultimate authority in whatever you're starting out at the moment. But you still did. And in some way or another, you are an imposter. Because you don't have the experience of running a business. But you cannot let that imposter syndrome take a hold on you. You need to find the answers to the questions that are bugging you at the moment. So you can overcome that imposter syndrome.
Do you ever have that yet or still?
Of course, all the time.
You still have that?
Right. Of course I still have that. Of course I still, well, of course not. It's not obvious, but I do have that. The second reason why I launched Sovereign University on Monday was because my wife told me, stop being a, well, she didn't tell it. She didn't say it like that. Like, stop being a bitch. But she literally told me like, dude, she's also part of the platform. She said, Jose, what you have inside Sovereign University, I know I'm your wife and I love you, but you know that I will always tell you the truth. I'm part of other membership platforms and being part of your platform has shown me how much more advanced you are than the other guys that I'm working with. So,
it's true.
And I told her, like, what do you mean with that? Okay, she told me, first, the way you explain things, it's easy. And she's English is her second language, but my skill level is like 10 times hers. So she still needs to work more on her English. And despite that, she's able to understand the process, okay? First, it's more organized. Secondly, it's easy to understand. And third, I don't feel lost following through your step-by-step instructions. Mm-hmm. When I go to the other platforms that I'm in, I see a bunch of videos and a bunch of stuff, but I don't know what is the next step. And she told me, like, just launch the fucking thing. Just launch it. It's, yeah. I always say this almost on every podcast that I'm invited. Find someone that trusts more in you than what you trust in yourself. Because that person is the one that will, like, push you in a good way to become better. And that person to me is my wife. And of course, I trust her more than she trusts herself. So it's like a, you give me something and I also give you something back. My wife is actually the reason why I started my online business. For, I don't know, a little over 10 years, she was always telling me, Jose, start your online business. And in my head, I was, nah, I'm just a bitch. I'm a little bitch. I'm not good at this. Fuck it. And she was always bugging the hell out of me. Start. Do it. You have it in you. And she is the top reason why I started the online business and the reason why I relaunched Sorry University. I found someone that trusted more in me than what I trust in myself. And that's a big thing because I do trust myself a lot, but I still struggle with the imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
But as David Perel said, when we start out, every single one of us is an imposter because we're not the person who knows how to run a business. When you're starting out, of course, you will eventually become that person, but then you become the imposter on
the next level,
the next level, the $1 million or the $10 million or the $100 million. Okay. I still have not reached the $1 million in 1 year, but I want to reach that. So currently my imposter syndrome is telling me you're not a seven figure a year person. So what the hell are you doing teaching people how to make six figures? And I said to myself, well, I'm a multi, here's how I lie to myself. Well, I'm a multi six figure business owner, so I can teach people how to make five figures or their first six figures.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it's how I lie to myself. Okay.
I get it.
To push myself forward.
Yeah.
And there's no problem with doing that. It's like the fake it till you make it. I believe that, just don't use it to scam people. you need to do things really good. Okay. Yeah. Or at least try your best. So, you overcome the feeling of overwhelm by putting in the work. I'm overwhelmed right now. I'm fucking overwhelmed. But regardless of that, I have this little thingy here in my arm. You see it?
This is what we call
a Whoop app. The Whoop. WHOOP. Whoop tracks your sleep, tracks everything. Okay? And despite of that, you will not be able to see it, but everything is green. It's green. It means that I'm sleeping well and that I'm doing well in regards to how I feel. And I can feel it. Every time this thing is in green, I really know it's green because I feel good. I feel it even before knowing it's green. When it's red, I also feel it even before watching the app. So it's not the app that's making me feel bad or good. So despite of the overwhelm, despite of the sensation of being a little bit lost, I sleep well. Why? Because I know I'm doing my best to provide value to people who trust me with their money. If you don't do your best, you will not be able to sleep well at night unless you're one of those psychopaths that just want the money. But if you are a person that prides him or herself in being an honest, and responsible person, you need to do your best. Maybe your best is someone else's worst, but that's okay. With time, your best will be the best of the best test. And that's my philosophy. At the moment, I'm struggling. Yes. But 1 year from now, when I have 1,000 or 2,000 members in the platform, I'll have a different challenge, but I won't feel the same stress, anxiety, and imposter syndrome that I'm feeling at the moment. Overcome it. Push forward. And eventually you'll find the path to win. That's what I think about that. Long rant, right?
Yeah, you're a talker, but it's good. You've got a lot of conviction. And despite being overwhelmed, you know exactly what you're doing. You've got a path, and I think that's really important. And you know, you spoke about the university and having that deadline. And if you don't have deadlines, this is something I learned from you actually, because I'm in the middle of creating something at the moment, and I didn't give myself a deadline, and it wasn't getting finished. And now I've given myself a deadline, and I've actually been able to. It's basically done now. So. No, I think everything you do is absolutely brilliant. I really love the philosophy, the imposter syndrome. What that David Perel guy said, that's really interesting as well. You'll have to send me, because I couldn't find it on my phone. You have to send me a link.
I'll send it to you on Twitter.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because you actually said something to me on Twitter the other day. You were like, well, that's why you've got over 100,000 followers. And I was like, yeah, my head needs to catch up with that. You know, I'm like, I don't know why.
Are you still tweeting as you had 1,000 followers?
I'm tweeting as if I have like 1,000 followers.
That will get you eventually. That will get you into trouble.
Trust me, I know.
Because you know, when you find one of these accounts that will start talking shit about you, and you reply to them, emotional way, it's not a big deal when you have 1,000 followers. But if you have 100,000 followers, it's different, because you're punching down, and people don't like when you punch down, or at least a lot of people don't like that. Other people find it funny. I find it funny because I don't give a shit, but a lot of people do give a shit. So it's something I've noticed from a lot of guys and girls that they grow their online business, their online brand online. Once they reach to a certain level, they forget that so many people are watching them and reading their stuff that they still act as if they had 1,000 followers, and they punch down and they talk shit about the other smaller accounts. Yeah. So
no, I don't do that anyway, to be honest. I think the only thing that I have to be careful of is I get a lot of stupid responses.
Stupid.
I get stupid responses. And I just...
Oh, you can do the Valley accent?
Oh, I can totally do an American accent. Like, I can totally do that. Like, we could totally, we could have absolutely done this podcast in an American accent. That would have been awesome. I can totally do it. Anyway, I can't do your accent.
You have
accent,
a good American accent.
Oh, really? you just got to up talk. Cool. Everything is up talk. So everything's got to go like this. And you got to ask a question after everything that you do. No, it's not that good.
That's the Valley girl accent. It's funny.
It used to be better. But Jose, no, it's been brilliant. I want to thank you so much. It's been so interesting. I always love hearing what you have to say. And you know, I find your Twitter so valuable. So guys, please follow Jose. His Twitter is absolutely brilliant. I'm one of those people that genuinely screenshots tweets that I need to remember. And Jose is one of those accounts. Like I said, he tweeted something like, if you don't set a deadline, you won't get it done. And then I'm like, oh my God, I need to set a deadline. God. So value right there. So thank you so much.
You don't
have
to say what, but when is the deadline? Speak it out to make it a reality.
So it's July, end of July.
July what?
2021. I just need to work out one thing. I don't know. I need to work out one thing.
No, it has to be one day. What is the day? Put the deadline right now. I'm challenging you. It's a challenge. What's the deadline? Say out to the world. Risk it.
I don't know. Okay, the first month, the last Monday of July. We'll just say that. Let's see. Last Monday of July. I'm not sure.
Last Monday of July. That would be, let's put a day. That's the 26th of July. That's your deadline.
Oh, God. I better write that down. Oh, that's very stressful.
You spoke it. Now you have to deliver. I was going to tell you that if you want to get shit done, if you have 100,000 followers, tell your followers, I will launch something big on a given date. That's how you add fire under your ass, so you actually find the urgency to get it done. And now you've done that. You've got yourself into a pickle, and you will deliver. You will deliver, because you now have a deadline. The 26th of July of 2021, Miss Leia will launch something. I don't know what, but she will.
Stress me out, Jose. That's what I mean. Okay, all right, I'll deal with it. I know what I need to do. I also need like other people that I'm working with to launch this to hurry up. So, all right, we'll get it done. Jose, thank you so much. guys, thank you so much for listening. We've had some really interesting comments, so I'd recommend checking out the YouTube, Jose, afterwards, just to have a look. But yeah, people really enjoyed it. There's Moon Rocket Ape, who said this was pretty solid, honestly. So thanks, Moon Rocket Ape. And Jose Manuel has also commented. So yeah, no, it's been really great. So also, where can people find you just before we end the podcast?
They can find me at Jose Rosal on Twitter and on YouTube too, I believe. There's no ads on YouTube, so just write Jose Rosal. I'll be the first one to appear. On Instagram, it's Jose Rosado, R-O-S-A-D-O-H-Q, as high quality, okay? And my website, rosa.do, R-O-S-A.do, which is my last name, okay? Rosado, rosa.do. That's all. That's how you can find me. Or when Leia retweets something, hit the follow button once you see me on her timeline.
There you go. Thank you so much, everyone. We'll be back next week. And Jose, of course, thank you again. Bye-bye.
Always. Bye.